Over the last couple of months, we've been exploring Chizkiyahu HaMelech. And this evening, we come to the final episode that the Tanakh tells us, both in Melachim as well as the parallel Psukim in Yeshayahu, the end of the 20th parak of Melachim Beis, the end of the 39th parak of Yeshayahu. We had seen Chizkiyahu's early days. We had seen the rise and fall of Ashur. We had seen the crisis building with the siege, increasing danger. Sennacherib leaves, he comes back. And we saw the fantastic nace that ensued. And then last time we began to explore some of the episodes that follow that in the Tanakh. Towards the very end, right before the national Yeshua, we saw there was a personal Yeshua for Chizkiyahu as well. Chizkiyahu had fallen ill. We spent time last year explaining what the Gemara says about why he falls ill, the tefillah that he offers, the tears that he offers, the tshuva that he offers. Yeshayahu is sent back to tell him that he has another 15 years. Gemara understands, as we discussed last time, a part of the issue was that Chizkiyahu had refused to marry and seek to start a family because of what he had learned Baruch HaKodesh, that if he had a child, the child would be a Rasha, which was ultimately indeed the case with his son Menashe. Chizkiyahu marries Yeshayahu's daughter, and he is healed as HaKadosh Baruch Hu had sent Yeshayahu to prophecy. And at the end of that episode, Yeshayahu Chizkiyahu had also asked for other nisim and other oaths, and there had been an additional oath about the movement of a miraculous movement of the sun. And then we come to this final episode, very, very intriguing. It's very small, and it's exceptionally dense. Take a look at the psukim, and we'll seek to both appreciate the psukim and see beyond the psukim to sort of understand what the larger issue is and some of the larger messages. The psukim here, over the course of 8-10 psukim, psukim tell a closing story in the life of Chizkiyahu HaMelech about the visit of Baladan Jr. Baladan, the son of Baladan. Barodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, who is a king, Pasuk Beis, excuse me, not his personal visit, but he sends a diplomatic mission. Ba'esahi shalach brodach Baladan ben Baladan Melech Bavel. He's the king of Bavel. And the king of Bavel, fellow we haven't heard much about, not the famous emperor of Bavel that will make an appearance, in a very powerful and tragic appearance in a couple of generations from now, Nebuchadnezzar, is an earlier, smaller king of Bavel. Baladan ben Baladan, he sends Sfarimu mincha el Chizkiyahu. He sends letters, books, as well as a present to Chizkiyahu. Ki shama ki chala Chizkiyahu. He heard that Chizkiyahu had fallen ill. And the reading of the psukim simply at first. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Chizkiyahu hears about the mission, that the group that had been sent on behalf of Barodach Baladan. And he opens up everything for them to see. Pasuk Yud Gimel. He shows them his treasuries, Beis Nechoso, which may refer to his storehouses of spice. Shows them the gold and the silver, so details some of the spice. Everything, everything that was in his Otsaros, show them all. Show them his wealth. Nothing was left out. Lo haya davar shalaher am chizkiyo b'vei sov v'chalom shalta. Okay. So A group of diplomats show up, and Chizkiyahu greets them and shows them around his palace, shows them around his treasury. How would you have thought about this? I don't know. Okay. It's a group game, and Chizkiyahu interacted with them.
Why would you show them?
Right. You wonder why he showed them. Right. A little curious, but okay. But the reaction is remarkable. Yeshayahu returns once again. Pasuk Yedalad. Yeshayahu comes to Melech Chizkiyahu, and he says, well, let's skip for a moment. In Pasuk Tazayin, Yeshayahu is going to say to Chizkiyahu, Shema Dvar Hashem, you listen. Which itself is striking. You listen to Dvar Hashem. He thought Chizkiyah wasn't going to listen. Listen to Dvar Hashem. He says, you're going to be punished severely. That was a terrible chet, and the punishment will be severe. You know how severe the punishment will be? Hard to imagine anything worse. Yamin ba'im, nisak kol shebe v'secha, she'atzru avosecha ad yom hazeh bavel. Everything in your home, all of your wealth, everything that generations of Malchei Beis David before you had built, all of that wealth will be carried off to Bavel. Nothing will be left behind. And your children, banecha she'yetu mimecha, the children that will emerge, Asher Tolid, your children, meaning not necessarily your child, but your family, your descendants, they're going to be taken with Yikachu, they're going to be carried off to Babel. Not only will your wealth be carried away, your family will be carried away, your descendants will be carried away, and there'll be pages in the palace of Babel. Where did we see that last year? Right, Daniel, Hanan, Mishael, Azariah, our descendants of Malchus Beis David, and at the time of Galus Yechaniah, around a decade before Churban Beis Hamikdash, Nebuchadnezzar has them brought to Bavon and they're trained to work in Nebuchadnezzar's palace. Wow. So you wonder, I'm not sure exactly what was going on with that visit, but such a severe. He's basically told that Churban Beis Hamikdash, the Churban will come, at least in part, because of the terrible sin that you committed. Wow. Ostentatious, but you gotta wonder. Something they need to. And then, Chizkiyahu's response is positively dumbfounding. Pasuk Yitzes, Yom Chizkiyahu Yishayahu, Tov Devar Hashem Asher Divarta. What you told me in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, good. Vayomer, he says, Haloim Shalom Vemes Yeb Yamai. There'll be peace and truth in my days. He said that my kids will have to deal with this, but I'm okay. Shocking response. Utterly shocking response. And that's where the curtain closes. The way it typically does in Melachim, at the end of almost every king, as we had said when we got started with this in the first year, the way almost all Sefer Melachim is arranged is you have Melech Yehuda, to hear some of what happened in his lifetime. And then there's this close. It says whatever the other events of his life, Halohim Ksuvim, you'll find the more historical details that aren't going to make it into the Tanakh in the royal annals, and they'll go to Melech Yisrael, Melech Yehuda, Melech Yisrael, and almost invariably with that sign off. So here's the sign off. Yes, Adivri Chizkiyahu, Kol Gvurasal, Kol Sheres HaBrecha, Tala, other work they had done in and around Yerushalayim, he moved the water, you'll find that it's safer Divrei Hayomim Malchei Yehuda. And Yechizkiyahu passes away. Yishkav Chizkiyahu Mavosav Imloch Menashe Benav Tachtav. And his son Menashe, the evil son, one of the few truly evil kings of Malchus Beis David, although he would ultimately do tshuva at the end of his life, takes over, or succeeds Chizkiyahu. So it's a positively sort of like a mystery wrapped in enigma. This group comes. He responds. And Yishayahu tells him, you did terribly wrong. Severe onesh. To which Chizkiyahu says, okay. Well, it sounds almost like saying, okay, well, my kids have to deal with it, but I'll be okay. How are you talking? This is one of the greatest tzaddikim of all time. The man who could have been Mashiach. First candidate for Mashiach. One of the, not only a genetic successor, but as we saw, a spiritual successor to David, like almost no other member of Malchus Beis David. What's going on? What's going on? And the two psukim we had skipped before, he said Yishayahu shows up after Chizkiyahu makes this decision to show this Babylonian group around his treasury. The second thing Yishayahu says is, you listen here, Shema Dvar Hashem, you pay attention. Kadosh Baruch Hu said that severe onesh is coming. What's the first stage of their conversation? Psukim Yudal Tezvav, mysterious. Yavo Yishayahu Hanavi Amelech Chizkiyahu comes, he says, Ma'amra Anashim Eila, where did they tell you? Me'an Yavar Elecha, where did they come from? Chizkiyahu says, well, they came from a faraway land. Eretz Rechal Kabal, Mibavel. What's Yishayahu driving at? And Yishayahu again says, well, Ma'amra Abba Vesecha, what did they see? So Chizkiyahu says, it's called Hashem Abba Vesi, Ra'u, Ohay Dava Shalah, here you see both your side. I show them everything in my treasure. And then he says, you listen here now, here's the Onesh. almost seems like staged. What's going on? What's going on? So let's start from the beginning. But Esahi, the opening phrase, at that time, Barodach Baladan Ben Baladan sends this group with gifts and messages. But Esahi means this was a result of at that time. Well, wait, at that time, yeah. Which time? It sounds like an Achar Advarim Eila. Sounds as though this was a result of something that had happened earlier. A result of what that had happened earlier? What would you think? Okay. So he had heard that he had been sick. Now, but you got to wonder. So this was a get well message. Is it a get well card? He sent a gift because he's sick. So what does this mean? So presumably it means that one of the events, as has most of the Mefarshim understand, one of the events that had occurred in conjunction with Chizkiyahu's illness. One of the events that occurred in conjunction with Chizkiyahu's illness. Which event? Which event? So the Rabag thinks Al Pipshuto, the Be'esahi means at the time of the miraculous defeat of the Assyrian Empire at the gates of Yerushalayim. The world was shaken by that. No one, as Sancheir Rav Shake had correctly been bragging just a few days earlier, a few months earlier, right? We're unstoppable. All the most powerful countries, we just mowed them down. And you Jews, you think your God? I mean, his Chir forgive. You think your God's going to be any more effective than any other God? We just mowed them all down. They were an unstoppable force. As Gemara Megillah says, he's one of the few who had been Molech Bekipa, a massive empire. And then he's miraculously destroyed the gates of Yerushalayim. So Rabag says, yeah. Barodach Baladan wants to reach out. Chizkiyahu is the place. He's a new power broker. The most powerful king collapsed, basically. Everything deflated at the gates of Chizkiyahu's city, Yerushalayim. So Rabag says, that's what's going on. And as a matter of fact, Rabag says, if you take a look at the Pesukim in Divrei HaYamim, the psukim are almost identical, as you mentioned, in Malachim and Yeshaya. Ray made reference that some of the stories also told in a somewhat different format, and often more bekitzer, in Divrei HaYamim. Divrei HaYamim Beis, Prakim Laban Aleph Laman Beis, give the stories of Chizkiyahu. And Perek Laman Beis in particular gives those stories which also appear in, largely, which also appear in Malachim and Yeshaya. You take a look on the second side of the page, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, they had come Lidrosh Militzei Sarei Bavel, HaMishalachim Alav, the group that had come of diplomats, the statesmen that come from Bavel, Lidrosh HaMofes Asher Haya Ba'aretz. They wanted to know about the Mofes, that sounds like the miracle that happened in the land. Sounds like they were coming to hear more about this miraculous defeat of Sancheirav. If you look up a couple of psukim earlier, when it's talking, I started the copy here from Pasuk Chaf. As you see, the summary of the story of Ashur, this is the end of it. Chizkiyahu and Yeshaya and Pasuk Chaf Davin. Again, we had seen Malachim and Yeshaya, a lot of detail about the back and forth, and this field, that field, here just Bekitzer. The two of them, Davin, Pasuk Chaf Alpha, Yishlach Hashem Malach, Hashbaru sends a Malach, destroys miraculously the Syrian army. Pasuk Habez, Yosha Hashem is Chizkiyahu, Yechizkiyahu is referred to here. This Yoshe Yishayim Yasan Cheir. The result of it is Kadosh Baruch Hu saves Chizkiyahu and the entire community of Yerushalayim from Sancheirav. Vayina Halem Yisav, Kadosh Baruch Hu is guiding them. Pasuk Chav Gimel, the Rabbim Mivim Mincha LaHashem LiYerushalayim. Many were bringing gifts to Kadosh Baruch Hu to Yerushalayim. Migdanos to Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. They're bringing special things to Chizkiyahu. Vayina Seilei Nei Kol HaGoyim Me'achar Kein. Nations all around have an elevated view now of Chizkiyahu. So there was a broad-based reaction, not surprisingly. Everyone, the reaction to the Yeshua, the miraculous Yeshua from Sancheir, is everyone's reaching out. Everyone wants to bring presents and spend time and connect with Chizkiyahu. Specifically, in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Militzei Sarei Bavel come. We appreciate why did the Psukim in Divrei Yamin spend one extra pasuk talking about Militzei Sari Bavel? In Divrei Yamin, it's more summarized. But here in Yeshaya and Malachi, we understand why. There's a whole episode about Militzei Sari Bavel. And the Rabbag understands that they too came, Ledrosh, to be Dorish the Mofes, meaning that they're drawn by the miraculous Yeshua from Ashur. However, Rashi has a different interpretation there. Rashi says that the Mofes isn't a reference. Rashi and Divrei Yamin says Mofes is not a reference to the miraculous, the military miracle. It's the wondrous wealth of Chizkiyahu. They had come to see his wealth, which feeds well into what Rashi quotes in both Yeshaya and Malachim, quotes a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Gemara in Sanhedrin draws a very, very fascinating parallel. Very fascinating parallel. Well, for one, Rashi says that they were drawn. Maybe he was drawn. They were drawn not so much by Esahi. But Esahi is not the Yeshua from Ashur, the national Yeshua, but specifically that you had referenced. You know, the Tosuk talks about Chizkiyahu being healed. So in that context, the Psukim had spoken about the nace of the miraculous movement of the sun. Maybe that's specifically what had drawn him. But this also brings us to the larger question. So what is the chet? What do you do wrong? And you had mentioned the ostentatiousness. So the Ralbag gets us rolling by pointing out that if you look at the Psukim in Divrei Yamin, there's so many references to Chizkiyahu's gaiva. We already saw on Pasuk Chav Gimel, nations are coming from far and wide. They're bringing presents to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're bringing things to Chizkiyahu, and Chizkiyahu is elevated. How does that elevation work out? Pasuk Chav Hei, we already hear about Ki Gavah Libo. Chizkiyahu falls into the trap of arrogance. Pasuk Chav Vav. More about Gavah Libo. Gova libo. Gova libo. And specifically, Pasuk Havav, V'lo ba'aleihem ketzef Hashem b'imei Chizkiyahu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wrath doesn't come in the days of Chizkiyahu. It sounds like a reference to what Yeshayahu says. It's going to be a punishment. And Chizkiyahu himself said, well, it won't be in my lifetime. A result of, sounds from this Pasuk, like a result of Chizkiyahu's gaiva. Now Rashi adds more. This is the Rashi I wanted to point out. Rashi adds a fascinating parallel. Rashi references both in Yeshayahu and Malachim to Gemara and Sanhedrin. To appreciate the depth and the significance of Chizkiyahu's gaiva, and to appreciate, going back to the Psukim, we were wondering before, what's with this whole back and forth? Yeshayahu shows up, he should have just said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me to tell you that you're going to be punished. Instead, he says, well, tell me, where they come from, what did they say, what did you show them, back and forth, what's it all about? And, I would add, why does Yeshayahu say, okay, now listen, Shema Dvar Hashem. Just say it. You ready in conversation? Just say it. So the Gemara says, Sanhedrin, this Gemara's, yeah? Wow. Fantastic. The Gemara Sanhedrin says, and Adam and fantastic. So the Gemara Sanhedrin, the Rashi quotes, points to Cain and to Bilam, and Rav Yigal Ariel quotes a Medrash, I think it's a Mechilta, that has Adam as well. Yeah, Mechilta. No, I'm sorry. The Brachos Rabba, Adam and Cain and Bilam and Chizkiyahu are all in a line. Because what's common to all of them is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving them a chance. I'm asking you a question. I'm trying to engage you. You could have said, right? Adam could have said, oh, I did wrong. Cain could have said, that's weird. I did. Instead, it deflects. Hashem Rachi Anochi. And Bilam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to engage him. He's giving you a chance. He's giving you an opening to say, you know what? I'm sorry. You know what? I did wrong. And here Chizkiyahu as well. Yeshayahu comes. And says, who came? What'd they say? He questions also. So number one, it's also, there's an opening for you to say, Yeshayahu doesn't need me to tell him. Yeshayahu Navi knows what happened. Why is he asking me? Chizkiyahu could have thought beyond and said, he's trying to engage me. I need to think about this. But instead it sounds like sort of swept away by the gaiva that the Psukim and Divrayam are highlighting. Yeah, it's great. It's great. And he has no qualms about saying, I showed off my stuff. You know what he knows? He keeps showing off his Otsaros. That's what the Psukim are constantly saying. He's showing off his own Otsaros. And he has no qualms about telling Yeshayahu, yeah, there was nothing I didn't show them. Now, it's interesting also, though, stepping back to the first Pasuk when Yeshayahu appears, Pasuk Yudalid, where how is he open initially? Ma amru anashim ha'ele, ume'ayin yavo elecha. What do they say? What do they say? And where do they come from? Why is he asking that?
It just sounds backwards.
Yeah, where they come from, what they say. Yeah, where they're from, what they say, and how do you respond? And Bechal, the where they come from seems irrelevant. I mean, if Yeshayahu was trying to get Chizkiyahu to the point of, they came and I showed them everything, Yeshayahu would say, what'd you do? And that was, he's giving him the opening to say, I showed them everything that was wrong. So we understand what they say and how do you respond. But why is Yeshayahu asking where they come from? And by the way, what was Chizkiyahu's response? Where'd they come from? Let's just say from Babel, from a faraway land, from Babel. What's going on? Well, what's the significance of the location? What's the significance of a faraway land? Yeah. Okay.
That would totally change that story because it's one to be guided to is one thing, right? Okay, not physical. But then theoretically, there's been this tremendous theoretical motive to push people in that direction. He turns the attention to himself. That's bad. If he was turning them to the Beis HaMikdash, then that's good. That's a totally different.
Right. Right. Certainly, the psukim are highlighting his own otzaros, which is consistent with the gaiva. And there's more to come, because he says the Malbim says, and in light of what you're saying, he says let's put the pieces together, like the Ralbag had already established, right, based on the psukim and Divrei Yamim. Chizkiyahu's response is of great gaiva. But why do they come? In communication, you always want to communicate well, you want to first listen and then respond appropriately. You want to hear what someone's reaching out to you. What's he or she saying? What are they really driving at? What are they seeking? And then let me respond. What were they seeking? What were they seeking? So that goes back to what we said before. The Ba'ei Sahi, they were coming. Kadosh Baruch Hu did an incredible nisim. Unbelievable nisim. For whom? For Klal Yisrael. He did an unbelievable nisim for Klal Yisrael.
So maybe they wanted a peace treaty.
Right. So we'll come to the diplomacy soon. Certainly, they're interested. There's an opportunity here to tell them HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unbelievable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did incredible nisim. Incredible nisim. What did he do instead? Oh, you came? I'm a really wealthy guy. You can't. You must have come to see me. You must have come to see me. Yeah, that's right. I'm the new rich kid on the block. I'm the new power broker. Sancheirav is yesterday's news. Now it's all about Chizkiyahu. Sure, you came to the right place. A total, unbelievably missed opportunity. They were coming to be Dorish Dvar Hashem. The simple reading again of the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim that. To which the Ralbag had pointed us. The Chemilitze, in the summary of this story, in Divrei Yamim, Pasuk Lamed Alef, Militze Sari Bavel Mishalachim Alav Ludrosha Mofes Asharia Ba'aretz. They wanted to hear about the Mofes. And he responds with me. He responds with, it's all about me. So the Malbim says, so what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen is number one, horrific gaiva. Number two, a missed opportunity, Kiddush Hashem. And number three, practically, you're talking about the diplomatic angle. You could have said correctly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did Nisim for Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Mabba's long conversation about the Neis HaTzel as well. I mentioned the two approaches, Rabag versus Rashi. Which Neis was it that drew them? Was it the Yeshua, the military miracle against Ashur, or was it the Neis HaTzel? But even the Neis HaTzel he develops was ultimately an Ose. Chizkiyahu had been told he'll get healthy in a few days. He'll be healthy. Wasn't he the Neis HaTzel? That was to give Chizuk to Klal Yisrael. They're coming. You could have told them HaKadosh Baruch Hu has our national back. Instead, you told them me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does Nisim for me, for Chizkiyahu. I'm a really wealthy guy. I am. It's all about me. So logically, what's going to follow from that? And even think strategically. Think about, get into the mind of a foreign country that comes to visit. Like you said, right, they're trying to figure out, Malchus Yehuda is a new source of power. So you're going to have to respect them. Right? If he would have told them correctly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the national back of Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects Klal Yisrael. We look small, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on his side, right? We've said that. What would the reaction be? Right. So then you don't mess with Klal Yisrael. They didn't say it's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us. So it's about me. So what's the response? The response naturally is, oh, we won't mess with you. As long as you're alive, Chizkiyahu is untouchable. Once Chizkiyahu is gone, you know, later generations, they're not going to, there's no fear. There's no hesitation about attacking Chizkiyahu's descendants. And indeed, Yeshayahu says that's exactly the midah connected midah and the onesh. You deflected it. You moved away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and from Klal Yisrael to yourself. So your children will therefore suffer as a result. Plus, there's even more. We wondered before why is Yeshayahu bothering to ask him where they come from? Right? Just say, you know, what are they saying? How do you respond? And you'll find also the order is funny. Right?
You want to know who you are, why you're here.
Right. Right. You would think you would start with the who, and in the context of Yeshayahu, as the Gemara Sanhedrin says, he's trying to draw out, give Chizkiyahu an opportunity for tshuva. Why is who they are relevant? And Chizkiyahu's response is not for you say, who are they? Bavel. He said, no, they're from far away from Bavel. What's it all about? This brings us back to the strategic piece. There's another layer here also, which the Malbere touched on a little bit, and Rav Yigal Ariel in Mikdash Melech develops more, which is, in addition to the gaiva angle, the gaiva level of the chet, that he, a failure of midos, and in addition to the lost opportunity for Kiddush Hashem, and the lost focus on Klal Yisrael, there's a third angle also, which is, what were you thinking? You're responsible for the security of your nation. You're the king. People came and you showed them all of your money? Forget about being a king. Right? Someone comes to visit, you don't know them. Do you show them around your whole house and show them where you keep all of your silver? That's not particularly wise. You're asking them to come visit again and help themselves to your silver. What were you doing? Why do you show them all of your cash? Why that makes sense? Aren't you inviting an invasion? Aren't you inviting an invasion? So Chizkiyahu's response was, nah, Eretz Rechoka, that's a far away land, they're not going to bother me. In other words, in that one phrase, Yeshayahu is capturing his assumption that Bavel poses no strategic threat. They're A, far away, and B, here's another parallel. He spoke at the Gemara Sanhedrin, talks about Chizkiyahu, a very negative parallel to the reaction, the missed opportunity and the negative reaction of Bilam and of Kai and of Adam. It occurred to me there's another parallel, which is There's something similar about Chizkiyahu and Yonah. Yonah lives generations before Chizkiyahu. Both of them deal with the superpower before they achieve superpower status. But Yonah had been sent to Nineveh, capital of Ashur, before it was a superpower. As a matter of fact, that's what the Mechilta famously explains. The reason why Yonah incorrectly, but well-meaning, you know, the reason why he wants to avoid Dvar Hashem and not be machzer Nineveh B'tshuva is because if I'm machzer them B'tshuva, they're going to survive long enough to grow into the enormous superpower that will come and over the course of generations destroy Malchus Yisrael. Now it's happening again. The next nascent power is Babel. And we know the end of the story. In a couple of generations, Babel will have grown to the next superpower once they take over for Ashur, and they're going to come destroy the Beis HaMikdash. But at this point, this little Mal Babel, which at that point is more or less a vassal state, almost, of Ashur. So Chizkiyahu says, Eretz Rechoka, geographically far away, and more importantly, strategically irrelevant, third-rate country, JV team. Who cares? Babel. Shayo says, and that's the response. Shayo's response is on point to all these levels. He says, not one that. He says, you drew the focus away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to yourself. You drew the focus away from Klal Yisrael to just you. Your children will suffer. And you thought that, above all, little nothing, who are they? Now they're a little nothing. They're not going to stay that way forever. And then Rav Yigal Ariel adds sort of one other layer as well, which is in thinking about how this was a diplomatic chet, and sort of think about the diplomatic meaning of this visit. One layer which the Malbim stresses more is you invite Ganavim in. Right? You're attracting them to come back. Why would you do that? You're looking at them, they're irrelevant. You think, Zabal Gaiva, no one can touch you. Right now they're small, but in a very negative sense, they're cut from Gadolia. Another way of looking at it, and maybe this is what you were talking about before, they had reached out to build a relationship. Babel came to build a relationship, and they wanted peace. And Chizkiyahu's response, at the very least, if not arrogant, at the very least was positive. So another angle here, Rav Yigal Ariel suggests. They're reaching out, and you know, Ashur is gone. Eretz Yehuda is rising. Babel says, okay, we want a relationship. And Chizkiyahu says, fine, come on in. Look, I have a lot of money. We can talk. Let's start to build a friendship. And if you look at it that way, so Rav Yigal Ariel points out, it's, remember when Rav Shaka had first shown up and Sancheirav started to scare the Jews? He said, oh, you guys think you're going to rely on Ashur, on Mitzrayim? That's your source of power. Mishenes HaKaneh HaRatzutz, that broken stick that you think you can rely on, they're not going to support you for anything. And the truth is, Rav Yigal Ariel points out, right earlier in Yeshayahu, and Prakim Lamed and Lamed Aleph are dedicated to telling Melech Yehuda, don't rely on Mitzrayim. They're not reliable. That's not where you want to put you should not be deriving your strength from Mitzrayim. And at that point, Rav Shaki was right. That one point, Rav Shaki agreed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael should not be relying on Mitzrayim. Instead, as Yeshayahu says, in Perek, it's Prakim Lamed Lamed Aleph Yeshayahu, there the Nevuah about avoiding reliance on Mitzrayim. Pasuk Perek Lamed Pasuk Tezvav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the words of Yeshayahu, Ko Amar Hashem Elokim, Kedosh Yisrael, B'shuva V'nachas Tivasheyun, V'ashket V'vidcha Tikvarascham. Your Yeshua and your strength will come from in a calm way. Don't run after Mitzrayim. Atomu loki, al sus nanus. If you're on the horses, no. In other words, Klal Yisrael should stick to themselves. You develop your own strength. practically, you have bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't need those outside alliances. They're going to come back to bite you. That had already been true with Mitzrayim. Virgil Ariel suggests another way of looking at Chet Yishayo is you're doing, I already told you that not to make an alliance with Mitzrayim. And now the very next group comes along. Now you want to make an alliance with Bavel? How many times do I have to tell you? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you going down that path. You're going to go down that path. You think it's going to help you. It's going to come back. Going to come back to bite you. One final question.
In the minutes that remain.
There's that closing pasuk. That closing pasuk. Yomer Chizkiyahu Yishayahu. After Yishayahu delivers this nevuah of gloom and doom, there's going to be a terrible chorban in the coming generations. He says, well, Tov Devar Hashem Asher Dibartem. The word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me, good. Good. Vayomer, and Chizkiyahu continues to say, Halom Shalom Vemes Yeb Yamai. Well, there'll be peace and truth in my days. That was an utterly shocking reaction. An unnatural reaction. And then if you're digging a little deeper, you might also wonder, Shalom V'emes? Peace in my day? Truth? What does that mean? Well, what do they mean? There'll be truth in my day? I'm saying there'll be peace in my day. No one's going to attack until after I pass away. The word emes is sort of odd. There's another word in that puzzle that's sort of odd. That's Vayomer. Why twice? Vayomer Chizkiyahu Tov Da Hashem Asher Dibart, and then again Vayomer Halo B'Shalom VeEmes Yev Yamai. I make sense of that. It makes sense of that. So the Mahari, so the Malbim developed something very beautiful that a nugget of which already appears in the Mahari Kara on Yeshaya. Mahari Kara of Yosef Kara was a Talmud Chacham, a French Talmud Chacham, was slightly younger than Rashi. He had his parish on some Sifri Tanakh. The Malbim says that there are two separate statements he's making. Tov Dvar Hashem Asher Dibarta, one part of what you said is good, and then in the second thing he's saying, Shalom V'Emes Yeb B'Yamai, there'll be peace and truth in my day. Malbim says, what's going on here? Well, why the two statements? He says, we have a principle the Chazal teach us that nevuah, if a Navi delivers a negative nevuah, nevuah l'ra, it's chozeres. If we do tshuva, it can be undone. Nevuah l'tova is absolute. If a Navi delivers a positive nevuah, that will not be undone, even if we start acting worse and we no longer deserve it. So Chizkiyahu's response is, B'yamai, in my day, shalom v'emes. It's absolutely true, there will be peace. Because the Malbim understands Chizkiyahu is saying, you told me two things. You told me two things. He's sobered. He says, well, you told me two things. You said in my day we'll be safe, but beyond my generation, Klal Yisrael is at risk. So he says, what you said about B'yamai, shalom v'emes, absolutely true, as in there's no way that's going to change. Even if I do more chataim, implicit in the negative that you told me, is a positive nugget that in my generation, as long as I'm alive, Klal Yisrael will be safe. That's absolutely emes. That's nevuah tova eino chazeres. And he says it could still be good. The other part that you said, it could work out better, because the part that you actually were stressing, that in a future generation there will be a churban, I did a chet, and we deserve a punishment as a result. But maybe my children will do tshuva. Maybe my children do tshuva. Maybe that part can still be turned around. But what Marie Kara already sees in this pasuk is a different positive. He already begins to talk about, well, there's a negative. Chizkiyahu is noticing the positive within the negative message. He points not only to the positive that in my day there'll be peace, but that I will have a child. You just told me directly that I told, and it takes us back to the previous episode. He had chosen to not have children, and that was the chet that had originally driven what almost became a lethal onesh of his illness. He had, as the Gemara said, he had sought to marry Bas Yishayahu, and now Yishayahu came and said, your children. So Chizkiyahu says, that's a frightening nevuah, but within that there's a positive element also. You just told me that I am going to have a family. Which also indicates, Rav Bach points out, you see from the psukim that he doesn't yet have a family. This episode also happens before Menashe is born. This is all happening around the time of the Yeshua from Ashur, which is around 3 years before the birth of Menashe. So within the negative, there are positives. He's noticing the positives within that frightening message. And the Malbim says he's also recognizing the negative, that the positive part is locked in. Nevuah tova ein chazeres. Nevuah ra, there is still hope in terms of the galus that was prophesied. So maybe we could wrap it all together in the following way. Just to think about what we learned this evening in terms of parallels. Number one, we saw a parallel between Babel and Ashur. We had seen in Yonah, Yonah's days, Ashur had been small and had risen to great heights. And now we're already, Ashur is gone, we're already seeing the bud of the next power that will challenge Klal Yisrael and that will endanger and jeopardize Klal Yisrael. And then there are three parallels that we're seeing in Chizkiyahu. Going back to the very beginning of the Pirkei Chizkiyahu that we had learned, the initial parallel, remember, had been Chizkiyahu and David. Chizkiyahu is seen as almost David Aviv, even though he's a David. David is biologically his great-great-grandfather, but spiritually, he's absolutely his father. Chizkiyahu took after David. You remember, we had been originally introduced to Chizkiyahu as an enormous boteach, and a man who merited an incredible Yeshua. And then we came across a second parallel for Chizkiyahu and Yonah. And that's no longer an incredibly positive parallel, no longer a parallel of extraordinary growth, but they're both given the opportunity to be mitmodei, to interact with the start of a superpower. And both don't initially handle it well. And then the third parallel for Chizkiyahu is the parallel that the Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Bereishis Rabba draw, which is a profoundly negative parallel. The language the Gemara uses there is very, very, very sharp. The Chizkiyahu, like Cain, like Adam, like Bilam. Chizkiyahu is being compared to Bilam. My, how we've fallen. Chizkiyahu. And Bilam too. Bilam ignores opportunity for tshuva. Bilam ignores, should have understood what this initial conversation meant. And in both cases, it's driven by presumably a terrible gaiva. By a terrible gaiva. And so what emerges is Chizkiyahu is a man of incredible potential. Extraordinary potential. And great tzidkus. Great true tzidkus. Even more of which is developed in some of the stories in Derayam and don't even appear in Yeshaya and Malachim. His potential was realized to an extent. It was not fully realized. It was not fully realized. We had seen in an earlier Shia he could have been Mashiach, and he wasn't. He was not properly Moda Takarish Baruch Hu, Mahal Takarish Baruch Hu, on the miraculous Yeshua. And as we saw this evening, that seems to have spun into an increasing focus on self. What could have been a moment of even greater kirvas elokim instead became, ironically, a moment, the Yeshua became a moment of pulling away and focus on himself instead. And he did indeed get an onesh, and Klal Yisrael took an onesh for that. And as Chizkiyahu himself notes, even within the negative, there is positive. And there is onesh, and there will be churban to come. But ultimately, as we discussed last time, but the end of the story is not the churban of the first Beis HaMikdash that will come with over the next couple of decades. The end of the story is that Malchus Beis David will survive, and the end of the story will be the geula that doesn't come fully in the days of Chizkiyahu, but begins then, and will come to us, Mirtz Hashem, Meir V'Yameinu. Thank you so much. This completes the cycle of Limud of Chizkiyahu. We have one more shiur opportunity now in Purim, that is next Wednesday. Maybe we'll spend next Wednesday on a standalone shiur on Megillas Esther. Last year we explored Megillas Esther through the lens of the Malbim. I was thinking perhaps next week to explore the Megillah. through the lens of how various Amoraim opened their limud and the particular themes that they focus on, like Gemara and Megillah. We'll take a look at Mitzvah next week.
Thank you so much. The point, but why does